So the second budget presentation is by Pat Hutchins for the San Juan County PSD. Pat?
Thank you. Tonight, I am excited to say that I got a communication from Chicago Title, and the closing of the medical center is on schedule and probably will happen about next Friday. So in that news, I would like to concentrate more on the budget that I have listed here without the inter-island medical expenses, because I feel pretty confident that for 2019 we're going to get to have a budget without those expenses on there. So I have one column there that says 2019 without IIMC, and that basically between with or without the medical center expenses, it lessened them about $33,000.
Just when you say without the IMC, you mean with the IMC sold?
Yes.
There's two ways of interpreting without the IMC calculated in here.
Okay.
So this is with the IMC sold.
That's
column E.
That's column E, okay. Right. Would not have expenses attributed to the medical center for 2019. I highlighted the columns that are in the spaces that are in yellow were the ones that I went back and took out the expenses for the medical center, like the water bill and the electric bill and telephone and lawn service and the property, just in property and liability insurance, it lowered it $6,000. So those are mainly the areas that the expenses will not be there for next year. And that I also I alluded to this the first time I presented the budget, but on the wages column, right underneath, let's see, it would be. Line number 40, where it has my district superintendent wages. I changed this year to presenting that with, it's just wages, so those are my wages without benefits, without anything. When I hired Nathan to come on board, he has his wages, and his are expressed in line 32. Under business office. And then as you continue down to the benefits line, item number 44, the $50,800 are all of the benefits associated with mine and Nathan's benefits. He got married, and so he has a wife, and so I wanted to differentiate those two items, because before it was just me, and so we had put my wages and my benefits into one line item, but now I think it's important that they be broken out so you can see what our actual wages are and then how much benefits there is. So that's how they are broken out for 2019. Are there any questions about that? Nope. Okay. And then also.
Can you hear?
Yep, I can.
Okay. Also, with the $33,000 less of medical center expenses, that kind of, if you go from $574,600, which was the budget with the expenses, over to, I'm looking at line 27. That's the budgeting operated reserve. It kicks it back up to $606,590, and which is a little bit higher than what 2018's reserves were, but we have significantly raised wages and things, so it actually is a little bit better, but we have another full-time employee, which is greatly, I think, benefiting the district and myself for sure. that we can concentrate on more items and more in-depth functions, and it also allows me to have been going to some more high-level meetings in the district and concentrating on accounting duties and things like that. So I think that is a good statement of our budget, that even though we raised our expenses, we still are a little bit better in our operating reserve for next year. And then as the medical center, as we go through 2019, and sure, I could calculate the average, what the water bill and the electric bill and everything like that is, but there was always some surprise expenses that came from the medical center. So, you know, we'll probably, you know, see a little bit better return and less expenses on that, but not having those will be good for the district. It also presents for the first time the way the district can really look at, we talked about this earlier, of working on our five-year plan for the district, because we won't have the medical center. I was not allowed until we sold the medical center to do any changing in the way our business structure and everything was. So we will be able to kind of start fresh and really concentrate on that part also.
So Pam,
yes.
Is the property and liability insurance reduction because of the Inter Island Medical Center?
Yes.
Okay, and so is the phone and DSL and mobile?
Yes.
Okay, all those high
yes.
Things. Okay, got it. Thanks.
So, for lack of a better term, line 56 and a half.
Okay.
It goes 56.
56, okay, yeah. Yes.
Independent contractor agreements, and uh-huh. That's yellowed out. Is uh-huh. That related to the medical?
Yes, there were, we had independent contractor agreements for the HVAC things, to maintenance on that, and also, let's see, what else? Lawn service and just little ones that added up, but so that's why it's just
plus
a little bit of a reduction there.
And so we're going to get a couple shekels left over from the building.
Yes, we will get the sales price. It was contracted at $875,000. I haven't gotten an accounting yet of exactly what the break will be, but they will take out a few things, and I would think, you know, for sure, you know, at least, I mean, I'm estimating conservatively $850,000, but I probably will have that accounting of what the proceeds will net from the sale by the 28th, so I can give a report on that.
And what do you suggest we do with that money?
Well, we have, the commissioners had already did a resolution saying that the proceeds from the sale of medical center would be given to San Juan Island EMS to pay down on their mortgage or their bond. It's a bond payment. So that's already been decided. Any other questions?
Thank you, Pam. Any questions from the board? Inclusive of
no.
The lady in the box, Rebecca?
No, thank you.
Okay. Was that a no?
That's a no.
From you, yeah.
Okay.
And Dr. Mark?
No.
And Lisa, okay, I have
and
no
question. Also, these budget is on our district website, so if anyone needs to look, it's there.
And again, this will be finalized. We discuss and finalize at the regular board meeting November 28th. So there will be some additions at that time to the budget. And I would ask, I'll talk to you later about that, Pam. Maybe two different budgets, with and without the medical center, actually three. And then
yes.
So, very good. The next order of business is under new business, discuss interim chief appointment process. This subject was brought up and superficially discussed at the last regular board meeting, and I thought it would be good for the board to, since time is of the essence in this regard, to clarify and frankly commit to methodology attendant to appointing an interim chief and replacing Chief Martin. So, Rekha, do you want to lead the discussion?
Sure. I had some discussion points that we talked about at the last meeting. Basically, that we wanted to get a head start, and to facilitate the transition, it would be good to get something going as soon as possible, and also so we have an overlap. So the suggestion at the time, and we had several questions to ask the board, is usually interim chiefs are normally, I believe, they're appointed by the chief. The positions are usually open to agency personnel first, and assuming there are suitable candidates, they get first crack at it. It's a temporary, it's a temporary position, so it's right now a time issue with regard to getting somebody up to speed, so we really do need to stick with someone familiar with the agency, familiar with the island procedures personnel, so that's why we're looking at keeping it in-house. It would be great to use the chief's existing job description. I've gone through it, and if there's any questions, we can talk about that. The board has some leeway with regard to one or two of the, any of the descriptions. And then I would just suggest there's two more things is asking for letters of interest. We already have three people who are working for the agency who have expressed interest last time. And the procedure is the thing that, you know, we need to discuss, whether the whole board interview the candidates, whether we have a small committee of, say, three people, who those people might be, and just to get flowing, because we don't need to go through a lengthy process for an interim chief position. So those would be my comments.
Any other comments, Dr. Mark?
Yeah, thank you for your work, Rebecca. I think it would be efficient to have, and not so top down, is to have the chief involved in a small committee along with one other EMS individual and one commissioner, and that they would make a recommendation to the board. They would do the interviewing and so forth.
I would ask you to proffer a motion now, but I think we really need to discuss the whole set of parameters and kind of look at it as a package deal, and then make either an inclusive motion or break out the parameters individually and then proceed with that.
I'm a little unclear on a statement made by Rebecca saying that the interim chief is normally appointed by the chief. That's not my understanding.
It's because I think you can ask Jerry if he's still there. I can't see him. Chief Martin.
It all really depends on the department, that how they do it. A lot of times there's some departments that do it that way. There's some departments that they have the commissioners do it.
It seemed last time the commissioners handled it.
Correct.
And
correct.
So why is there a change of protocol in this case?
Well, this is only a discussion point. It's not necessarily a recommendation, per se.
Okay, just asking for clarification.
Yeah.
And that was the question. That was the question I had to the board last time and this time too. And I think it's still on the discussion point page. Is it, you know, does the entire board interview all the candidates, or do you have a group? And Mark's suggestion about a commissioner and a chief and somebody from EMS would move it along smartly. That's a good suggestion.
Chief, what are your thoughts?
I like what you guys are, the path that you guys are going down. I think that the candidates within the department would all serve the position well.
Well, having served on the committee, selection committee, and recruited you among others, Jerry, I mean, it took us 7-8 months. There were probably 6 or 7 people on the committee, 2 commissioners. But that was for a permanent position, and now we're talking about an interim chief position, typically a year, maybe 2 at the outside. So I think we should streamline the process. I'm for that, pretty much so, and also it would be a major enhancement to getting somebody in place to allow overlap with you in terms of learning the ins and outs of the job. We suffered greatly in 2015 not having that, and it took months and months and months to unwind that on your shoulders as well, Jerry. So I'll stop talking and listen to you.
Well, do we have a timeline that we're working with? I think your contract suggests 60 days notice. Do we know what we're, like, what our time frame is?
Everyone's saying urgent, but
nobody
I don't hear numbers.
Okay.
So we do know for sure that we need to have an interim chief.
Sure.
So do we need a discrete timeline at this point in time? No. We need a methodology, and hopefully we can strike that today. Mm-hmm. Warren, your thoughts, sir.
Well, you know, we're going through, potentially going through a transition with whatever recommendation the Citizens Advisory Group comes up with. How long are you going to have an interim chief? What that transition is going to look like if there's a transition or a consolidation? Who has the knowledge? Do we have that in-house to have that transitional knowledge built in? Can we get that if we get an interim chief? Doing it all in-house, do we just need one chief, or do we need a really executive assistant CEO, so to speak, with an advisory board from the CAG and from the fire department about what we're really looking for in a long term? And those are questions I have, and I think those are bigger questions than just a small group, because they're big questions for the whole community. And if that's what we're looking at, and that seems to be the way we're going, I think we have to have more input about what we're looking for, is, and certain questions to whoever we interview, is their knowledge of the transition, their attitudes about the transition. A transition, you start talking consolidation, and that part of transition, how you save money, means there's going to be some people that go missing along the way. And this group of providers in this building, it takes 4 or 5 years. I've been through one of these. It takes 4 or 5 years to have a good transition. And I think getting that started early, and it's really the questions he had asked, and because not only do we get answers, but we inform the different candidates of what we feel are important. We don't have a 5-year plan. We don't have one even in a steady state, but with the transition, we don't have a 5-year plan. So getting that to the people that are being interviewed, because they're looking at us as to, well, what's this job really going to be? They all have ideas what it's going to be, but they don't have our ideas of what it should be. And we don't have the community's ideas. We have a group working on it, and in another 2 hours, an hour and 55 minutes, they're going to continue to work on it. So I think the group has to be bigger. I don't hear any rush, because well, it's got to be done tomorrow because we don't have a time plan yet. If that was, it's got to be done in 6 weeks, that's one issue. If it's got to be done in 3 months, I think we can take some time and move this along. And there's going to be some budget considerations in there also. So I'm more for a bigger group interviewing and all of us writing down where we feel we want to go, and getting some input, even if the Citizens Advisory Group or the county has their own ideas about what they expect out of us, how they want to mesh with us. And I think that's part of our job as commissioners, to do that and ask those questions. So, and I see a retired fire chief over here. So hiding.
I think the first order of business is to have a leader of Salmon Island EMS. And I'm reflecting my personal experience as a commissioner, going back to 2015 when we had 2 wonderful ladies sitting in on that job. And they tried their very, very best, but it frankly was a disaster. It was a leadership disaster and a continuity disaster. So I think first and foremost, we need to concentrate on keeping San Juan Island EMS solid and operational as it is. Now, down the road, we might merge with Fire 3. If that's the case, there's going to be a lot of changes. There's going to be a lot of learning on both sides. But I think we need to take one step at a time. In terms of expediency, again, I saw the disaster back in 2015 where there was no overlap, essentially, between Chief Jim Cole and even the interim surrogate chiefs. It was a disaster, starting with computer programming and tracking the budgets and operational considerations. And I don't want to see that again. And so I think we should fast-track this. Sure, there are some unknowns, but, you know, Chief Martin might say, listen, as a hypothetical, the end of this year, I'm out of here. Well, golly gee whiz, then we're caught with our, you know what, around our ankles. So I don't want to see that happen. As Chief Martin mentioned, we have three outstanding potential candidates within the House. We're blessed by that, and I think we should take advantage of that. Again, it's in the context of an interim chief's job. Now, that individual who receives that job and accepts that job, they're going to have more questions than answers, but so do we. And right now, the answers are not available. Is a merger going to go forward? There's so many unknowns out there, it's not even funny. But again, it's an interim job that we need to embrace while we have Chief Martin here to oversee and to tutor the new individual that's going to take over in his absence. Rebecca.
Well, I do believe that this is something, it's an interim chief, it's not a chief. We don't know what's going to happen with the merger. Warren is right about that. I mean, it could be hugely long. It could not happen at all. We don't know. It could be some kind of contract, which means, you know, there's not a lot of change, at which point we wouldn't have an interim chief. We'd be hiring a chief. So I think all of those things taken together mean that the interim chief is just that, interim chief, to be able to work with, you know, the Chief Martin while he's here, and to be able to garner as much information as he can for either hiring a permanent chief or for merging or consolidating or contracting with fire if something like that happens.
Okay. So again, going back to my sort of opening statement, you know, I'd like to strike some consensus here at the board level and get this consideration going. I think the first order of business is, who is going to participate in the interviewing committee. Mark mentioned Chief Martin, a commissioner, and one of the clinical staff, I presume a paramedic from San Juan Island EMS. I agree with that. So I'd like to proffer a motion that be the complexion of the interviewing committee that obviously ultimately makes recommendation to the board for the board's definitive consideration and ruling.
I second it.
Thank you. Discussion?
I think the whole board should do it.
Okay. Lisa?
I agree. I think the whole board should be involved.
Rebecca?
I think I could see both sides of this. I think the whole board trying to interview three people, I kind of like the idea of having a three-person committee. It's faster. It's thorough. It's people who know the people, and the chief and a representative from EMS, paramedic, know these people better than the board does. And know their qualifications, so I would tend to go with a three-person committee.
And I would also add in support of my motion that, per Warren's recommendation or suggestion, that the board be active in this. There's no reason for the board to sit back and wait for the threesome to advise them to approach the commissioner that will be participating in this three-person group if the motion passes, to have that in the back of his or her mind in terms of, hey, I want him questioning and considerations and things of that sort. So
are these meetings going to be open to the public?
They haven't in the past.
Why?
don't have a good answer to that.
The interviewing process usually isn't until you get to the final ones, which is exactly what happened this last go-round. All the interviewing and all of the discussion was done ahead of time, and then they brought in the final candidates to make to talk to the public, and they asked questions in front of the public. That's how it was done last time too.
So, Brad, is that consistent with what you just recently went through?
Because we have a three-person board, and they were one of the interview panels, that was actually an executive session. But the public participated in the other two interview panels.
So again, going back to 2015, it was done via Skype. It wasn't done in public session. So, unless Nathan, you find in legal research that we are compelled to do it in open session, I would suggest that it be done in private, frankly.
There's a well-established provision for that. An executive session exclusion to interview someone for public employment.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So any other comments?
I would add a timeline on that motion. So having the candidates submit their letters of interest and CVs before, pick a time, the next meeting.
Well, I think you suggested a timeline of, 2 weeks?
Correct.
And your talking points here are about three-quarters of the way down.
Okay.
So to streamline things, I'll amend my initial motion to include a timeline of 2 weeks.
And we don't plan to post this publicly. This is an in-house process. And why was that decided?
Well, we can post it publicly, but basically we have three very interested in-house candidates.
Sure.
Which more likely than not will prevail because of their familiarity with the agency. But that's my thoughts.
And so the applications and letters, those will be public. We'll know who's applying.
Yes. Okay, any other comments? Rebecca?
No comments.
Call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say?
Aye.
Nay, whatever.
Nay.
Nay, okay. 3-2 vote. Motion is sustained. Other provisos here, using existing chief job description, is a consideration I'd like to have a ruling on.
I'm sorry, what was that? What was your comment?
The chief's job description, the current one,
right.
as at the very least a template for the selection process?
Correct. Yes, I think, looking at it, there's a couple of things. It will ask for something specific, and then it will say our comparable experience as determined by
correct.
The board, and a couple of things as comparable as approved by the board. So I think that covers the bases.
Okay.
I think once the committee looks at it, and if they don't meet all the requirements, then it's up to the board to say, that's fine, or we can accept this other experience in place of it.
Okay.
Well, I would suggest that the history being that Jerry, Mark, and I went through and developed a process. Jerry didn't want it to involve him in his contract, and we had the duties and the responsibilities of the chief lined out, and we shelved it. And I think we should bring that back as to the duties and the responsibilities along with what the chief's doing and start developing those. And we have a shelf time, was put on the shelf indeterminate to go back and vote on it. And we worked on that in this committee. And up until we voted on it, everything looked like that was going to go forward.
So
then it got shelved.
You were involved in that. What's your thought in light of the selection process for an interim chief?
So the motion was tabled consonant with recommendations and discussion with Jerry that there is a duplication of language and that at such time as that a new chief, not necessarily an interim, but a new chief, would be sought and interviewed, that part of that process, preceding that process actually, would be rewriting the job description for the chief so that the work product would be incorporated at that time. Since the time is uncertain, so too would be taking up the motion again. But as of now, we don't have that in view. We don't have a date for Jerry's retirement. We don't have a date for future events. So it's out there. The work product would be preserved. It hasn't been lost. And when the time comes, we can incorporate that into a new job description for the chief.
So we're talking about an interim chief.
Correct.
So how does your work product, you and Dr. Appleton's work product, how does that fit into this overall concept?
It doesn't. It would pertain to a future permanent chief.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, in terms of application, I'll proffer another motion that be based on two entities. One, submission of letters of interest or intent, and CVs. Can I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Discussion? In the absence of discussion, call for a vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. I'll abstain in deference to my previous no vote.
Okay. The motion passes 4-1. Another proviso that I'd like to have the board commit to tonight is this individual, assuming that this individual is already working either full or part-time for San Juan Island EMS, that when they stand down from the interim chief's position, that they are not thwarted in resuming their previous job in any way, shape, or form. I think that's requisite to protect an individual who stands in an unknown situation particularly.
Can we make that ruling, though, based on union rules and such? I mean, we can't really.
I think that's already been cleared with the union, has it not, Jerry, in terms of that proviso?
It's been discussed with them, and yes, and this could be written in as a MOU that with the union.
It's not really necessarily up to us. It's up to the union.
And if that person is a paramedic, are we going to lose paramedic time, or are they going to be employed time and a half to be the interim chief and a paramedic, if that person's a paramedic? And what would that do to the budget over a period of time that we don't know how long that period of time is?